Why don't I hear any music still playing?
They ran out of
music? Oh, this is sounds like a personal problem. We are continuing here and having conversations. The sales boss extraordinaire, Jeff Marcero, just stopped by. So all I can, I'm just going to guess there's a golf course nearby here. Is that true?
There is.
You see, there you are. There we go. God bless you, Jeff, for all the good work that you do. He's a fellow Monroe guy. Now, our next guest, and I don't mean to get ahead of ourselves, he did not. You and I went to Monroe Catholic Central. He, Chad, went to high school in South Korea. I don't know what else to say. I can't even ask questions or compare notes. I know Daron Levin did not go to high school in South Korea. Did you go to high school in Israel?
I went to high school in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, and rooted for the Steelers and rooted for the Pirates.
Okay, just so it doesn't sound like I'm nuts, he was born in Israel. He was in the Israeli army, along with his beautiful wife. But I never heard about this other story, so we'll talk about it another time, Daron. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't just ask questions I already know the answer to, like lawyers.
Right.
I ask questions and sometimes step into it in my own way. Now, so Axios,
you're doing great, Paul.
Daron, Axios is reporting Iran is considering the U.S. proposal to end the war. Can I ask you, as a far brighter guy and more worldly guy than me, can I ask you, what difference does it make whatever anyone says, including Iran, about what Iran will do or not do, since they have lied since they've existed?
Well, look, they don't want the United States to come down on them any harder than we've come down on them already. And they're very, very worried about their own people turning on them, which could happen at any moment, and probably we would like to happen at some point to stop the tyranny there and the torture and the summary executions and everything else they've been doing for the last half century. That's a danger, too. But I think that the president has been pretty clear that Iran is not going to have a nuclear bomb, and we're going to do whatever we need to do as a country to make sure that they don't have a nuclear bomb. And if that means going in and taking out uranium that is there, we know it's there. If it means having Iranian agents on the ground do that for us, it doesn't matter. But the Iranian side obviously thinks that the president is going to fold because the election is getting close in November, and maybe they can wait it out, and maybe they can continue to stall and talk about 15-point proposals and whether they're going to accept the proposals and how many of them they're going to accept. But it's not really going to help them because they are cornered, and they've made some bad mistakes, and it just has to play out now. And I think everybody just has to be patient. I want to get back to $3 a gallon gas just like everybody else, but I don't want to see another North Korea, which is what Iran has become and would become with a nuclear weapon. So I think everybody has to just take a deep breath and let this play out.
Well, certainly the fact of the matter is, like it or not, they've talked themselves into this position. If the president does not get a promise or proposal that they may or may not live up to, and they generally don't, that takes out that uranium or any of their nuclear weaponry capability, we have lost. And this president doesn't like to lose, and he knows pretty damn well that if he doesn't get that, at least promise to be able to say later when they break that promise, well, they promised us, he's in trouble. I mean, forget about the midterms or the whatever else they were worried about that come and go. He'll be in trouble, and his legacy will not be so good. And he does care about his legacy.
Well, I agree with you. He does care about his legacy, but this isn't about him. This is also about us, Paul. We really can't, the Western world can't really be in a position where they can have a nuclear breakout as close as they were to it the last time.
Right.
They have ballistic missiles that can reach Europe. They have ballistic missiles that will someday reach the United States. North Korea has ballistic missiles that threaten us already, and we don't want another country to have this. So this is really for us and our future generations as much as it is for anybody's legacy as president.
Well, it's also for all of Europe and many other places that apparently look the other way when all this is going on. They did not and have not stepped up to have any say in this until their oil prices went up because of the Strait of Hormuz, and all of a sudden they're all up in arms. Well, the president could have easily pulled out of all of this because we're told we already create enough oil that we don't need any oil in the Strait of Hormuz. All of them do, and they're doing nothing to open it or to defend it or anything else. So it's a bizarre thing. But let me say something else to Ron Levin. I love you as a brother. I learn from you. You're bright and all of that. So tell me why all of a sudden we don't hear about anything Israel is doing anymore from a point in time when people were saying the Israel forced the president's hand into doing this. I don't hear anything now.
I think everybody knows that's nonsense. Nobody can force Donald Trump to do anything, least of all an Israeli prime minister. But that's just gossip. That's not reality. Israel.
No, but the reality is we
right
haven't.
Now.
The reality is we haven't heard a lot about Israel and this part of this whole battle.
Well, Israel's not maintaining the blockade of the Straits of Hormuz right now. Israel's prepared to join the battle if it becomes an air battle again. Because don't forget, they don't share a border with Iran. They're 1,000 miles away. They're very busy in southern Lebanon right now trying to uproot the Hezbollah, which has all kinds of new weapons and is a client of the Iranians. And so part of what Israel is doing is confronting Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, keeping an eye out on the Hamas that's been more or less neutralized in the Gaza Strip, and waiting to see if they need to join the battle again against Iran. But that's going to be basically a call by the president and by CENTCOM, not by Netanyahu.
Hey, please give our best to your lovely wife, Adina. And it just occurred to me,
that.
I may have asked you, Daron, I don't know if I've asked you this before. You were both in the Israeli military.
Correct. We met in the IDF.
Was she an officer over you?
She wasn't my officer, but she had a rank that was far above mine, that's for sure, and much deservedly so.
Okay. It just occurred to me while we were talking. All right. God bless you, Daron.
God bless you. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And let's make sure the Almighty does everything that needs to be done to make sure we have a good outcome here.
Well, they're trying to get the Pope on our side again. So we'll see. We'll see how all of that works out.
We're working all the angles, Paul.
Yep. And I guess we have to. Thanks, Daron.
Thank you, sir.
Daron Levin, freelance journalist. Yes, indeed, born in Israel. Yes, indeed, served in the Israeli military along with his lovely wife, Adina. It's what they do in Israel, you know. All right, we're going to close things out with the man of the hour. Well, the man of 3 hours, really. Chad Wiebesit. He is the director of media relations at Destination Ann Arbor. There's a lot going on here. We're going to tell you all about it coming up. Stay with us.